Go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you, Father, for each and every one here. Father, we come into your house because we want to worship you, and you seek those hearts who seek to worship you in spirit and truth. In spirit, by being close to you, and in truth, by upholding your word. And I ask, Father, please, that you help each one of us to worship you in that spirit, in your spirit, and in truth. I pray, Father, that you will bless this message and bless the intent of it and the point of it. May it stir our hearts. May it compel us, Father, to look at the simplicity of the gospel and then share that with other people. I pray your honor this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're looking at this series of messages, I want us to look at classic Christmas movies that we watch. Maybe you watch them every year, maybe you don't. But we're going to tie the message into these type of things. And, you know, in Scripture, we're supposed to look for every opportunity to share Christ. And there are different springboards that God allows us to have that if we look carefully, God will show us how we can use those springboards, such as the movies, if you will, to represent Christ. And so that's the objective in this series of messages through the month of December, is to look at these movies and pull from it the core essence of what God wants to do in and through his scriptures. And so we are going to look today at the beginning, at the incarnation of Christ. He came. He is a light in the world. And each of the messages will deal with the importance of the incarnation as we look at them. Today we're going to be looking at the movie Miracle on 34th Street. And there were unexpected truth that was found in the movies. Our kids and us, we used to watch a movie, whether it be Christmas or other times, and we would sit in front of the TV and we would watch a movie, but then we would, as a family, we would analyze and critique what we watched based upon what was true scripturally and what was not biblical. And we would analyze and teach and learn how to make that distinction between what is right and what is wrong biblically. And so, again, in this particular movie series, we're going to find unexpected truth in these movies. And we're going to learn that the real Christmas story is the story of God working in unexpected ways. For what reason? For the pursuit of people. That's really where I'm going with this, is how, you might be able to take this and someone might say to you, oh, I love the movie, you know, Miracle on 34th Street. And you might say, well, you know, you've learned something from the message. You go, well, gee, did you know that this represents this? Or you can springboard off that to share the gospel of Christ. The incarnation of Christ coming. Think about Christ coming. God in the flesh. We read the scripture. God became flesh. That's not just mind-boggling, it's incomprehensible. We don't understand how God can literally come into the flesh and dwell amongst us in a sense, and as a man. And yet he did. And so the incarnation is radical, but the incarnation is absolutely a critical doctrine amongst Christians. We know that God sent his son, he was born in a manger, he became a man, but we also know that he's 100% man and 100% God. And again, that's something that's inexplicable to our finite minds as to how that is even possible, but isn't that how faith works? Faith says, even though I can't wrap my mind around it, even though I don't understand it, I believe it. That the Spirit of God is confirmed in my heart that the things that you're sharing biblically and through the Word is truth. That Jesus is God in the flesh. That he did come on our behalf in pursuit of us to give us eternal life. And so the incarnation is radical. It's an important doctrine. It teaches us the heart of God. And what's the heart of God? The heart of God is to bring redemption to fallen mankind. The heart of God is to help people realize that God loves them and wants them to have a relationship with him, wants to give them hope, wants to give them the promises that he gives, all that put their faith in him, to show them a new life that's different than what they have already. In John 1:1 and in John 1:14, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Boom. There's another thought. How can we take something as intangible as the Word, or tangible, you might open up your Bible and see the words on the paper, and you're not correlating, how can the Word, be made flesh? But we also know in Scripture that the Word was spoken, and that's not all written on paper in a sense, but God Himself, it is in the Bible, but I'm saying there's another way of looking at it. In heaven, God said, "Let there be light," as an example. And so the Word was spoken. But what was the force behind the Word being spoken? It was God. And God came and made Himself relatable to us in the incarnation and in the flesh. And so God wants to reveal Himself to us other than just through the Word, but by Himself personally in our presence. And you might say, as I'm saying even now, I've never seen Jesus physically in my presence, but I know Jesus because He's in my heart. The very Spirit of God, right, confirms in our heart that we're the children of God if we've received Him into our life. That's the mark of identity, that we belong to Him as His Spirit and knowing His Spirit in our heart. In verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Old Testament was one that did not present grace. It presented the law, the hardness of the law. And I say the hardness of the law in saying this, that the law represented with clarity the absolute necessity for the holiness of God. And if we want to have a right relationship with God, we had to be right with Him. Old Testament saints put their faith in Christ who was coming. You and I put our faith in Christ who came. And there was only a short window there of people who actually saw Christ. But He came to give grace. That's that. We don't deserve it. That's that intervention on our behalf, even though we have no right to it. He came in the incarnation by grace to present the truth, that He's the truth to eternal life. He's the truth to a relationship with the Father. He's the truth to a new way of life, a new way of living, a new way of being as a human being as we live with and walk in the Spirit of God as believers in Christ. So the doctrine of the incarnation, that the Word became flesh in verse 14, has been a difficult concept for many to believe throughout history. I mean, you've heard it before. What do you mean? You put your faith in Jesus who supposedly died on the cross over 2,000 years ago, and that's supposed to save you? We can hear the rhetorical responses of people mocking and scoffing at that beautiful gospel message, can't we? It's very hard for people to understand that God came in the flesh. It's very hard that God came to redeem mankind from eternal separation from God. And yet, by faith, we accept that. And praise God we have faith. Amen? Amen? Praise God that we have been given the grace to have the faith to rely on God. As our hearts were knocked on, and as the Holy Spirit worked on our heart, as we responded and followed Him and that leading in our life and coming to know Him, we have the privilege of having faith. Because faith is believing in that which is not seen, right? And yet, encompassing it all, we have faith. And faith is a great and wonderful thing. The idea that God would come to the earth as a human child to do what? To take on Himself the plights and sufferings of the broken world that we live in. He came to handle. One day, the government will be on His shoulders. One day, His rule will be in complete will be a complete reality in front of us. One day the chaos of political stances and government and countries fighting against each other and all these things will be eradicated, and God will set up His kingdom on earth. That takes faith to believe that. Yet God says one day during the millennial reign that Christ will reign and there will be peace on earth. And there be no more war on earth. But we believe that by faith because logically we say we don't seem to be heading in that direction. But biblically we know that the world has to get worse before God comes back. And so the idea that God was going to take on the sufferings and the plights of this broken world, again, is something difficult for people to understand. If you told a non-Christian that Jesus is going to bring peace to the world and government's not going to be a problem and all this stuff that I just talked about, people are going to look at you and say, you're weird. But we believe it because God's word says it. And we also understand that God's word became flesh. It's the letter of Christ. It's Jesus revealing himself to us. So God came to earth to reveal himself to mankind in a very real and personal way because he cares for his creation and wants to help them to believe in him. So having said that, just watch this little clip from the movie Miracle on 34th Street.
You see, Mrs. Walker, this is quite an opportunity for me. For the past 50 years or so, I've been getting more and more Christmas. Seems we're all so busy trying to beat the other fellow and making things go faster and look shinier and cost less that Christmas and I are sort of getting lost in the shuffle.
Oh, I don't think so. Christmas is still Christmas.
Oh, Christmas isn't just a day. It's a frame of mind. And that's what's been changing. That's why I'm laying out here. Maybe I can do something about it. And I'm glad to meet you and your daughter. You two are a test case for me.
We are?
Yes, you're sort of the whole thing in miniature. If I can win you over, there's still hope. If not, then I guess I'm through. But I'm warning you, I don't give up easily. Good night.
Good night. Oh, Mr. Kringle.
Yeah?
First thing in the morning, would you report to Mr. Sawyer's office?
You know, as I was watching that, I'm thinking to myself, how many people, Christians, will look at that and in many cases, rightly so, say there's the lie that the world puts out there that Christmas is about Santa Claus. That Santa is the issue about Christmas. And that it's a substitute, it's a ploy, it's a deceptive picture. But as I was saying before, that if we would look at this as an opportunity to present Christ, we need to look for more opportunities to be relatable with people to share the gospel of Christ. Santa Claus, or Kris Kringle, revealed that he is getting lost in the shuffle of the, and I'm going to say the busy-eyeness of the season. People aren't believing in him in the movie, right? People don't believe in him in reality, right? Except kids. Kris says to Doris, that's why I'm glad I'm here. Maybe I can do something. You're sort of the whole thing in miniature. If I can win you over, there's still hope. If not, then I guess I'm through. But I'm warning you, I don't give up easily. Now with God, there's a difference. With God, there's always hope. I mean, you can use that as a springboard and say, there's always hope. And unlike Santa in the movie, God never gives up. He always gives us hope. However, like Santa in the movie, God wants us to believe that he's real and join the human race to show that he cares for us. Isn't that the intent of the movie? Showing kindness and care and the heart and not the commercialism of all of Christmas. We've heard that before. But take it deeper to represent Jesus and what Jesus has done for us as he's come in the flesh to reveal himself to us that we might come to know God the Father through faith in him. In John 1, 10 and 12, or through 12, it says, he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And you can see the relating aspect in that movie. Believe that he's Kris Kringle. You know, believe that he's Santa Claus. And most of us have seen that movie. And we know the intent of it. You got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. But Santa Claus is not the belief. It's Jesus that is being made known to us that we are to believe in him and help others to come to know him as well. Throughout the movie, God shows that he cares, and Kris Kringle cares about people. Well, for instance, if you remember in the movie, he signs for a deaf girl. And he listens earnestly to the needs of a child wanting a father. He sings in Dutch to a war orphan little girl. And he is simply with children in a time of year when they are often ignored in the busy I-ness of the season. And so keeping things in perspective, keeping our heart right with God, keeping our focus on him, keeping an awareness that we have opportunity to share Christ, and to use whatever we can through the Christmas season to present him. You know, going through the malls, have you ever wondered as a Christian, how many people here during the holidays, how many people here know Jesus? Have you ever gone through the malls and you're hearing the, you know, all the Christmas songs going on and people in there shopping and all that stuff, and you wonder in the back of your mind, I wonder how many people really believe what the songs are singing? How many people are paying attention to what's really important? And that's part of the focus here. And the primary focus, again, is the incarnation of Christ, that God came to save us, right? God came to save us. In John 1:14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he held his glory, the glory of his only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus dwelt among us and revealed grace and truth through miracles and teachings. That's what you and I are to do. You and I are to show the grace of God, and we're to share the truth of God. Now, we might say we can't do the miracles, but we can teach people. We might not say we have much ability, but we can show kindness. We can show grace to people that don't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. We can do good works for people. We can care about people. We can show non-prejudice to all people because God cares for all people. And so Jesus dwelt among us and revealed grace and truth through miracles and teachings. And what did man experience as a result in John 1:4? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, we're sitting here, we're hearing this message, and as Christians, we have to be reminded that we are the light. Jesus is the light that came among men, and you and I are the light and salt that represent him. That light came into the world to cut through the thickness of darkness of sin for the sake of revealing new life in Christ. And you and I are called to do that. When we have this program next week, you know, the whole idea is that we are cutting into darkness, so to speak, to share the gospel of Christ. The whole idea is that we're representing him. We know that. But it's a great joy to represent him. It's a great privilege to represent him. I know that as a pastor, there have been times when, you know, it's difficult. But God has reminded me. And I remember reading something that Richard Blackaby had wrote, that as he encouraged pastors, and still does, that he wrote, we have the privilege, no matter how big or small a church is, to present and to teach Jesus. But that's not just for preachers. That's for all of us. We all have the privilege, when preaching is, to proclaim or to make known who Jesus is. And I can't reiterate or underscore enough for myself or for you that during this holiday season, we need to underscore that as much as possible. And we need to even ask God, say, God, will you give me the eyes and the opportunity to share Christ during the season that presents you? And yet in the world has been smothered by commercialism and the festivities of the Christmas holidays. Just as Kris Kringle burst into the lives of everyone he encountered at the department store, Jesus came bursting into the world as life and light like man had never experienced before. I mean, if you watch the movie, Kris Kringle comes on the scene and he immediately starts having an effect on people's hearts and lives. But that's exactly what Jesus did. And that's a springboard. that can be related to if God gave us an opportunity to do so. That we could share, you know, that Christ came to give us life eternal. This movie is representing being kind to people, but God takes that even much further to love people no matter what and to offer them eternal life through faith in Christ. Thomas Constable, a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, said this, quote, "As light shines, that is present tense for the first time, as light shines, that is present tense for the first time in the darkness, so Jesus brought the revelation and salvation of God to humanity in its fallen and lost condition. He did this in the incarnation, as the Word of God brought light to the chaos before creation. So Jesus brought light to fallen humankind when he became a man. Therefore, the light that Jesus brought was superior to and stronger than the darkness that existed, both physically and spiritually." Now, I love that last part there, unquote. That the light that Jesus brought was superior to and stronger than the darkness that existed, both physically and spiritually. I'll share something with you on a personal note, personal testimony. In all the years I've been here and I walked through Klinga, I've done a lot of walking through Klinga over the years. There are some areas in Klinga that I can walk where I sense spiritual darkness or spiritual power or oppression. And there are other areas where I feel just the opposite. And I thought, am I crazy? this is kind of weird. But I think that there's a sensitivity that we all have in our walk with Christ where we identify the presence of evil. We can see that physically, if you will, through conduct in the world that we see that's evil. But we can also sense in our spirit there's something not right here that doesn't honor God, and it's evil. And so as we gain that sensitivity to the light that we are against the darkness that we live in, we have an opportunity to represent God's light that much more decisively to people that don't know him. For example, reflecting who Jesus is, what he means to us, how he's interacted in our lives, how he's done wondrous things that we've never thought possible in our lives, what it means to know him, and so forth. That when we live for Christ, when we know Christ, and we see him working in us and through us, and we're yielding to him, then we see the power of God in our life. And God might bring a situation in front of you that God is saying, I have a specific task for you as my representative in this circumstance. And we have an opportunity to stand for Christ. Just like today's Advent candle, it's a candle of hope. Hope is like light shining in a dark place. Who doesn't want hope? But let's look on the flip side of the coin. What about people that don't see hope? We carry the light and the truth of Christ that out of our genuine love for people and care for people, no matter who they are, we can share hope with people. Because that's why Jesus came. He came to give hope. Hope in this life, hope eternally. And you and I have been given the privilege to share the very same thing with other people. To be that candle of hope. Hope is like shining in a dark place. Literally, as you and I stand closer and closer to Christ, the light of Christ is seeing more and more bold in our lives. Literally, we can walk into a place and people might say, you're a Christian. You don't know how many times I thought about going into the bars and just sitting down and getting a soda and maybe leaving a track on the counter. Of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, great, here's the word, pastor's at the bar. You know, I can hear it now, right? Well, they said it about Jesus, too, didn't they? You know, criticizing him for where he went. But I can guarantee you, in the wrong environment, you and I will distinctly identify our relationship with Christ in contrast to the darkness that's around us. When we intentionally step into areas that are dark, we know it. If God leads us to step into an area that's dark, like going to the bar, we know it. If we are intentionally thrown into a place of darkness, we know the distinction between it. And the reason is because we are light. And light to show hope. And to show the love of God. And to show the grace of God. And that's what Christmas is about. Christ born, the incarnation, is the hope. And you and I are to carry the torch of hope. And to pass it down. And helping people to come know Christ as their Savior. Hope came when Jesus offered a new means of relating to God. In John 1:17 it says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." The law said, "This is my standard, but you can't keep it." The New Testament says, "This is my grace that enables you to be qualified to know me through faith in Christ." God's incarnation meant that man no longer had to live under the first covenant, a system of laws that sinful, imperfect man could never totally obey. The law was given there to men to help them realize they can't keep God's holy standard. Grace was given that we might be received through faith in Christ and not of works. The glorious message of the incarnation is that although God revealed his holiness and his ways through the first covenant and the law, God revealed himself more clearly in an unexpected way through the birth of Jesus in a stable. Jesus is God in the flesh. We've established that. Why did Jesus come to a manger? Why didn't he come in pomp and style and pizzazz and a Ferrari? Because he wanted people to know that no matter how low you are in society, like shepherds were, I care and love you. And we're to do the same. We're to absolutely do the same. In John 1:18 it says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Jesus declared God to us in an unexpected way in his incarnation as a little baby. God may use you and I in an unexpected way. He might throw us into a circumstance that we have opportunity to bear the light of Christ. Our Lord Jesus' birth may not have been revealed, right, on the miracle of 34th Street. But think about the reality of where he was born in Bethlehem. It was definitely a miracle on Bethlehem Street. Today, people go to Bethlehem saying this is the city that Jesus was born in. What a miracle. Not known to so many, though. So you and I need to proclaim, we need to make it known to the world around us that Christmas is an opportunity for us to share the grace and love of God with others. Honestly, if we ask God for the opportunity to share Christ, I'm convinced he'll show us. If we ask God to show us how to do it, he'll show us. If we ask him to show us how we can relate or springboard the truth of Jesus, the gospel of Christ, to those that he brings into our lives, he'll show us. But we have to be fine-tuned on that focus. We have to be absolutely focused on that and say, "God, I want you to use me to represent you and to share Christ with others or to encourage other Christians this holiday season." That's our opportunity. Because that's what Christ does. And that's what he wants us to do. So praise the Lord for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know, sometimes, Father, even in this message, as light as this message is, as simple this message is, as basic Christian faith and principle this message is, that we are to share the gospel of Christ, that Christ is our Savior. Sometimes in the simplicity of it, sometimes in the redundancy of it, we forget it. But I pray that this holiday season, this Christmas time, that we will intentionally seek you, walk that much closer to you, that we will intentionally ask you and desire of you to use us to be a light, that somehow that your very character would touch other people's lives through our lives, that you'd give us the courage to be able to share with people that Jesus died for them and rose from the grave and he's alive today. And that couldn't have taken place if he wasn't born in Bethlehem. And so, Father, show us the way to share you. Because in the simplicity of the gospel message, in the 101 of Christianity principles, it's the greatest opportunity for you and I, not you and I, but for we, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, to represent you. I just pray your honor that. Work it on our hearts, work it in our spirit. Let us not get lost in the busyness of it all. Let us not give you just a wink of notice, but let us know you very strongly and very intently on our heart, in our spirit, throughout this time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.